Happy Sabbath, brethren. Peace be upon you, and it is wonderful and a blessing for all of us to be in fellowship as the body of Messiah, as the congregation of Elohim, to grow in the way He wants us to grow and live the way He wants us to live, not the way man wants us to live, not the way denominations or any man-made thing, but the way Elohim wants us to be. And today we will continue with what we started, or I should say revisited, during our first day of Sukkot, where we visited our teaching on unity and more specifically reuniting the body of Messiah. And on our first day of Sukkot, we saw certain things. We briefly covered the issues of the problems that existed, how the congregation split and things of that nature, how the body of Messiah was disrupted and in so many ways, so that today the congregation of Elohim is so ineffectual. And we're not surprised, because we read in the book of Revelations and about the seven congregations in Asia Minor, the various problems that they had, so that we're not so surprised that believers, that a congregation of Elohim can become ineffectual, because it has happened before. But as you read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 and around those areas, how Elohim gave each congregation advice, admonition, commands on what they needed to do to be in good or better standing, to be spared from tribulation, right? So likewise today, we need to look at ourselves and see how we are doing. We need to look at the body of Messiah. Is it right? And if it's not right, it's our duty, if we are His, to work towards fixing the problem. It's not sitting on our hands, as some many would so falsely say, Elohim will take care of it, as if we have nothing to do, as if we're just to sit on our hands and He will take care of it. He certainly can take care of it. Like He told Moses, step aside so I may remove this people and create a new people with you. But we know Moses interceded, and it's heaven and earth working together. Of course, Elohim knew Moses would have interceded in that way. It's a strange thing. But yeah, Elohim can fix it, but Elohim expects us to be involved in His work. That's why we are the body of Messiah. So when there is a need, the Spirit communicates with us, and we do, and we become active participants in the work of Messiah. Messiah doesn't want His congregation to be united tomorrow. Messiah never wants His congregation to be divided. Never. When it's divided, and it stays divided because there are complacent people. There are people that are apathetic to the cause, or there are people that have given up hope. We must not be apathetic. We must not give hope. We must rather be united and work on uniting the body of Messiah so that we can become the strong, effective, effectual body, organization, congregation that he wants his people to be. So during that first day of Sukkot, we saw a few things. We saw how in the old we saw why basically it's important for us to unite, and we saw a few points as found in the Old and New Testament how the believers strove earnestly to stay united, both in all throughout the Old and New Testament. That's fact, and we saw examples just as the community of Abraham how they stayed together throughout their journeys. How with Abraham, they journeyed from their own land of Ur to come to Egypt and other places, but they never parted. They stayed together, worked together. Does that mean they were all perfect in unity in their mind? No, but they were working towards that one cause, towards that one goal. We also saw that the early Israelite tribes adamantly stayed united for the benefit of the whole congregation to possess the promised land, as well as to defeat their surrounding enemies. We saw that. We saw several examples of that. We won't go into those examples, but we saw that they stayed together for the benefit of the whole. They were ready to fight, even within among themselves when problems existed. The whole body got together who were not involved in the problem to stop the problem. Right? They were working as a body, as if they are antibodies. They get together as if they are antibodies to fight off a virus or some other foreign object in the body. So we must unite as Messiah expects of us and requested him in prayer. We saw that. We reviewed that. We saw that we must unite, whether in suffering or honor, to grow to the measure of Messiah. We saw that. We saw a few passages on that. We saw that also being scattered is a state of unfaithful, which leads to failure. Again, being scattered is a state of the unfaithful leading to failure. And we saw examples of that in the Old and New Testaments. We saw that. And one word I would like to read in this, which is very important for us to keep in mind, please hear this word of Messiah that we covered before, and I'll cover it again after this. Matthew 12, verse 30 says, He who is not with me is against me. Okay? That's easy for us to identify. Yeah, we can, I'm fine with that. I'm not against Messiah. But listen to the rest of this. It says, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. It's so important for us to understand why we can't be apathetic, why we can't shrug our shoulders and say, I can't do it, or, it's not my business. No, Yeshua says, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. That means any of us who would sit on our hands and do nothing in Yeshua's sight, it doesn't matter what we think or what anybody else thinks, we're wasting our time if we go against what Yeshua says. If we don't gather with him, we are in effect scattering. And I personally have seen that to be so true. And many of us have. So keep that in mind. That's why we need to understand our role. That when we see the body of Messiah being such a mess, we can't try to do other things while things are in such disarray. We must fix this major problem. which is fixable. It is so fixable, for lack of a better word. It's something that can be. It's not something impossible. Once we understand what it is we are to be doing, the reason it's not being done is because some don't want it to be done, and others don't know what to do. You know, it's like they're trying to push the horse with the cart, or put the horse on top of the cart and wondering why it's too heavy to pull. You know, so we have to know exactly what to do, get it straight from the scriptures, then we will do it. And this is what we're going to be doing, looking in today. How do we reunite the body? What do we need to do to have everything in its proper place so it can be done through us? But before we do that, one thing, we saw a few more things. We saw the benefits of unity, how it enables efficient communication of Elohim's messages. When we're united, we could get the message across better and more effectually. We saw how it fosters unity and pleasantness. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We saw how pleasant unity, the pleasantness and joy unity brings into our lives. The support we get, the love, the strength, real strength, not ethereal things. Things change when we are in unity. And we saw that in unity, we receive answers to our prayers and the fellowship of Messiah. We saw how unity allows us to act unanimously and keep safe together. We saw examples of that through the Old and New Testaments, how as a united body, the people were able to make proper decisions, and they were able to escape danger together. They knew what to do because they were united. Today, if there was a catastrophe, you would have the body all over the place, not knowing what to do. It doesn't have to be like this. So now, brethren, today let us go into our study, Achieving Unity. Let's just scroll up to the screen so we can show it where it says Achieving Unity. Almost there, brethren. We're just scrolling up here. There we go. Achieving Unity. So we're going to look at some scriptures and draw some conclusions based on the consensus of scripture and how we can achieve unity. It's not like a maybe, how we can. So achieving unity, as per the scriptures, every command Elohim gives his people are achievable, including unity. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, it says, the secret things belong to the eternal, our Elohim, So let's read that again. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the eternal, our Elohim. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Not some of it, all of it. Who does it belong to? Who do the revealed things belong to? It belongs to us and to our generations, to our children. How long? Forever. Forever. That's how long the revealed things belong to us. Why? So that we may do all the words of his Torah, all the words of his instruction. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14 says, but the word is very near you, in your mouth, in your heart. So the failure to achieve unity comes from the same sources that scattered the body. It's just, so let's get that right. The failure to achieve unity comes from the same sources that scattered the body of Messiah. What are some of these? When we saw this in the first teaching that we did, that called the We Are His Workmanship. If you haven't heard that, seen it, it's on YouTube, it's on the website. It identifies how and why the congregations have been scattered and why they were still scattered. So here, the first thing we need to understand is that the failure to achieve unity is not because we can't do it. Let's understand, let's get it straight. The failure to achieve unity comes from the same sources that scattered the body of Messiah. What are these? Divisive, self-serving, false leaders. That's one of the major sources of the divided body. Divisive, self-serving, false leaders. Secondly, cult of personality. And third, the unfaithful. Let's do a little quick review. Self-serving false leaders are the majority of what we see today, promoting themselves to be some sort of church, some sort of rabbi, or whatever they may call themselves in the body of Messiah. Their mode of operation is to distort scripture, take it out of context, either make the scripture more, they either add to the scripture or take away from it. They make it harsh, harder than it is, or make it less than it is. And they're constantly asking for money. Or they're trying to make a name for themselves. And they have no interest in connecting with other leaders of like mind. That's why you can see whether Sabbath keeping or Sunday observing, whatever, you know, this conflict of Sabbath and Sunday that the congregation of Elohim has no part of. One day I may explain that for anyone who doesn't understand why I said that. We in the congregation of Elohim have no conflict with Sunday and Sabbath. That's of the false leaders that are dividing the people. But because we know the Sabbath day is the Sabbath day, and that's forever. But going back to the self-serving leaders, they have no interest in uniting with others. And as a matter of fact, when you approach them concerning unity, they imagine evil things. They'll think, hey, are you trying to steal my sheep? You know, because they think the sheep belongs to them rather than Messiah. Or they have no interest because they're more concerned about who's in charge and who's going to be collecting the offering. They don't want to share their income. And so many other vile reasons, self-serving reasons. And so you can see two congregations who quote-unquote believe the same thing next door to themselves, but two churches, I should say, they're next door to themselves, but they don't do anything together. They have no interest. They're happy in their little corner. And so this multiplies and multiplies, and you have people scattered all over with no strength, accomplishing nothing except filling the pews and so-called leaders collecting money, filling their pockets. Divisive, self-serving leaders. Then there's the cult of personality. There are the people who are supporting these leaders, who like what it is they are hearing. They want to hear the false prosperity gospel. They want to hear that the law is done away with. They want to hear that we can do anything and that it's under the blood, that we don't need to repent. And so they fill these places with people preaching a false gospel and getting a sense that they are holier than anyone and cannot affiliate with others. And so they support these false leaders. And then we have the unfaithful. Unfaithful. Those who shrug their shoulders and do not, you know, hold fast to the truth. That do not hold fast to Deuteronomy 29. To fulfill all the words of this law. Forgetting that part of the law includes the unity of the body of Elohim since ancient times. Since the old covenant. Since even before the first covenant. All the way down to the new covenant. It is so paramount that the body of Messiah stays united so it could do its function. So it could fulfill its role. Day in and day out, forever, until Messiah returns. So the unfaithful. So let's read on. So as for the faithful, we know that whatever Elohim commands, he empowers and graces his faithful ones to fulfill his directives. We know that. He empowers us. So how can we shrug our shoulders? None of us should do this thing. We have to quickly repent and quickly be ready to be empowered, to receive the ability in unity, because that's where it's key. We cannot be apathetic and then not care. So his faithful ones to fulfill his directives. For us, as members of his congregation, we know that his congregation is being built and led only by Yeshua the Messiah. He's the only head. There's no false self-serving leader in the body of Messiah, in the true body of Messiah. There's no cult of personality, and there are no unfaithful ones. Because it is being built by Yeshua the Messiah, the only head. And this is why I happily and always will always say, sometimes people say to me, Elder Jackson or so-and-so, or I said, no, I'm not. Yeshua is the only head. And I rejoice in that. I'm just a simple servant like all of his people. We're simple, loving servants who love Elohim and love people, especially the doers of righteousness in Yeshua. We are not deceived or tricked into thinking that everyone will unite. That's the other thing. You see, one of the reasons we shrug our shoulders is because the enemy deceives us and these false churches, false leaders, tricked us into thinking somehow, how are you going to unite everybody? How are you going to unite these different factions, these different denominations, and so on. No, we're not looking to unite the denominations. This is not an ecumenical movement. This is a work of Messiah. It's not a movement. This is not a movement of men. This is what Yeshua, when I say this, I'm talking about what Yeshua is doing, is a work by his Spirit to draw together those that are his. It's not something that Brother Jackson, Brother Hosea, Brother Felix, Brother Herman, or Brother Dennis, you know, or any of us are doing. We are just participants in what Yeshua is doing. We are being called by him to do his work. So the goal is not to try to unite everyone. Rather, it's to unite whosoever wills. It's so important that we keep that in mind. Whosoever wills. Because that's how Yeshua, that's how Elohim operates. Elohim is not trying to gather everybody, but he is calling everybody so that whosoever wills among them will be saved. So we have to have that mindset. So we reach out to a brother or a sister or to a group and they say, no, it's okay. We don't stress over it. But we keep doing it and doing it until we've exhausted every person that we can reach. But we can be rest assured that as we do this, many, or at least some, will say yes. And that's the work we are doing. Remember, again, Noah, millions died, only 8 were saved. May not be so in our day. But keep that in mind. It's a matter of quality, not quantity. So it's whosoever will say yes, those are the ones we're working together to unite, just as we were. We were willing to say yes to the call of being Messiah's body, of being Messiah's congregation. So his word and his Spirit teach us that only those who are his, that is, those who obey him in hope and faith and love, will heed the call to unite. And those who want to be of their denominations, who want to follow their rabbis or the other false teachers among so-called the body of Messiah, if they want to do that, that's what they love, or they want to push the law to a degree beyond Scripture, or reduce the law beyond Scripture, if that's what they want to do, that's what they will do. If they want to be isolated in the so-called sense, we need to be united in truth as if Elohim expects us to be perfectly one in our minds. First, no, that's not true. as we've reviewed a few times, we've seen many times when Elohim gathered the people were confused people. They were not united in their thinking about, in other words, they did not necessarily agree with each other in their perspectives, but what did they all have in common? They loved Elohim and were seeking him. And as they saw him, he brought them together with as that being the foundation of their unity, being united in Elohim and Messiah by the Spirit. That's the foundation. And as such, because of they had that mindset, then the Spirit unites their minds. Ah. But no, some will divide. Oh, you know, they don't keep Sabbath or they don't do this. That's not what it's about. Yes. Obedience, the obedience of Sabbath and holy days and all these are important. But without the love of Elohim, they're useless in the lives of these individuals. For the Sabbaths and holy days are for those who are set apart themselves, for those who are living right. It's useless to keep Sabbath if we're living sin and disobedience. It's useless. Because they're holy days, they're celebrations. That's what they are. And these celebrations are for the people who have repented of their sins and love Elohim and love the brethren, not those who are going to be bored and not love the brethren and be ready to divide over every little thing. It's not for them. It's not for that. So as such, we will do all we can to find our fellow members of the body of Messiah to connect and unite. Why? For the honor and name the authority of Elohim in his everlasting arms. Remember, brethren, the everlasting arms are what? Are the Son and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit, the everlasting arms of Elohim. Really, brethren, this work is, as I said before, is not easy, but it's not too hard. It is certainly not impossible. It is achievable. As we serve looking to the author and finisher of our faith, how do we do this? We do this work looking to the author and finisher of our faith. We don't look to our past results. We don't look to what others are doing. Well, they failed, but I'm going to fail. No. If Moses thought like that, he would have never listened. Okay? If Abraham thought like that, if all the leaders thought like that, nothing would have been achieved. You cannot look at the failures of others and think you're going to fail. No, we look to the author and finisher of our faith. What is our faith? Our right understanding that leads to trust. With the fruit of the Spirit and his gifts. So, with the fruit of the Spirit, that is with our lifestyle, how we're running the race, our personal life of purity, wholeness, and his gifts. The abilities that we've gotten from him to do good, and especially those that are from a spiritual source, those that cannot be learned by flesh and blood, but are given as by the Spirit, such as gifts of healing, gifts of a word of knowledge, and so on, especially prophecy. So as we look to the finisher of our faith, and we use and we have the gifts of the fruit and gifts of the Spirit, we will achieve it. So let us review some scriptures that affirm this so we could try to close. Have only one head. Number one, have only one head. Hosea 13, verse 4 says, "Yet I am the Eternal, your Elohim, ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no Elohim but me, for there is no Savior, no Yeshua besides me." Okay? Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Messiah is head of the congregation, head of the ecclesia, head of the adat, head of the kahal, head of the congregation, and he is the Savior of the basar, of the body." He is the Savior of the body. Colossians 1 verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the congregation, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." So there is no other head. There is no man-made leader to look to look to. You know, this was one of the big problems in the first century times. Ancient Israel, so many rabbis, so many teachers with different opinions. And what did Yeshua say when he came, the true one, the only rabbi? He says the people are scattered as people without a shepherd. Because of this. And this is what we see today. All these pastors, they have no power, nothing, no gift of the Spirit, nothing. And they call themselves pastors. These things ought not to be. So there's no one who is a pastor ordained by Elohim who will not distribute, who will not display fully the fruit of the Spirit on a continual basis. Whoever is Elohim's minister, put by Elohim, who has such a name as shepherd or pastor, really, of the people, that individual will have the constant virtuous lifestyle, unblameable, because that is a person selected by the Spirit that the Spirit knows. And that person will also have the gifts of the Spirit. If somebody claims to be a pastor and does not have these, do not regard them. That is, they are truly false, or they're delusional. Do not. Because that's outright lying to say you are an ordained pastor and yet you can't heal the sick, and then you can't do this. You have more than one wives. No, these things ought not to be. So there's only one head, and that is Yeshua. And we, as his people, work together as his body. Can he put pastors among us? Yes, he can. But you will recognize the pastors by the difference in their lives. There will be a stark difference, just as look at Moses and the people. Big difference. Okay? Moses, Elohim spoke face to face with him. Moses went into the presence of Elohim. The people could not. It's always like that. The priests went into the tabernacle and served. The regular people could not. And all in the New Testament, we see that the apostles, they had the abundant gifts of the Spirit, surpassing everything we've ever read before in the Old Testament. Okay? We have enough examples of what a pastor and these elders are supposed to be. So don't be deceived by the phony, bogus, charlatan things today that's claiming to be pastors and heads. Blah, blah, blah. These things are lies and deceitful and shameful, even. Making mockery of what the congregation of Elohim is. And so this is one reason I do not call myself a pastor. Though he has given me the ability to understand the truth and speak it like it is, I will not call myself that. Until I can lay hands constantly on the sick and heal them, I will not call myself a pastor. Okay? Unless I can receive from Elohim as the ancient pastors did of the new covenant, I will not call myself a pastor. Do I qualify by the standards of this world to be called? Yeah, I certainly do, but not the standards of the Scriptures. I don't qualify for that. Okay, and anyone else who claims to be, and as I said, and do not have these qualities of a virtuous lifestyle constantly, of the power of the Spirit in their lives constantly, they're not ordained ministers by Elohim. They're ordained ministers by men or by human-made institutions, but not from above. Let's move on from that. So we have only one head. That's rule number one for reuniting the body. Eliminate different and divisive names. We saw that in part two in our study, that the congregation of Elohim only has one name. Is that a name made by men? It's a name established by Elohim. The word congregation of Elohim is not a man-made word. It's not a man-made title. We don't call ourselves Congregation of Elohim just because. We call ourselves Congregation of Elohim because that's what the scriptures throughout the Old Testament and New Testament call his body. It is the name of his body. It is the name of his organization. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 10 to 13 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name, by the authority of the Kurios, the supreme Yeshua Messiah, that you all speak," what? "The same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul,' or 'I am of Apollos,' or 'I am of Cephas,' or 'I am of Mashiach, the elect one." And Paul says, "Is Messiah divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul, in the authority of Paul?" The answer obviously is no. So there must be no divisiveness. See, all these names, like I said, these leaders, what do? Excuse me. They take the body, they draw members to themselves and divide themselves from other teachers, from other local groups by what? Giving themselves a separate name. This is a demonic work. Why would you give yourself a different name form from your brother or sister who is down the block? Or that's why would you do that? It's demonic. It's wrong. Because then they segment the body of Messiah. And yes, many of the people in those groups don't know what they're doing. But sometimes the problem is some of us get caught up in those groups unawares. Okay, for years I was trying to serve Elohim, but I was part of a large, popular, well-known denomination, and I didn't know why I was being so ineffective and couldn't and wasn't growing as I should. It's because I was in the wrong group. I was in a false group. So sometimes the true people of Messiah gets detained in these little cells of division. So they all go about giving their various names, congregation this, congregation of Bethsaida, congregation of so-and-so, or church of this, church, all these divisive names. You won't see that in the scriptures. In the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, you will read the Adat Elohim. You will read the Kahal Elohim. You will read about one or two times, the Kehilat Elohim. Okay, it's always the of Elohim. It's always something that belongs to Elohim, the organization of Elohim. In the New Testament, it's the same exact thing. It's the congregation of Elohim. Since Matthew chapter 16, verses 18, where Yeshua says, "I will build my ecclesia, I will build my kahila, I will build my kahal, my adat, I will build it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Since he said that, that was the first time it occurs in the New Covenant scriptures, let me tell you, when he says, "I will build it." Following that statement, the pages of the New Testament are full with the word congregation of Elohim, ecclesias theos, adat Elohim. That's who we are. It's not a name we put to be a denomination or to be separate, but rather is the name we call ourselves to show the one work that Yeshua is doing, the one work of Elohim, because that's why he calls it. That's what Elohim called it. That's what all the prophets called it. Israel and the righteous Gentiles together formed his congregation, always, even in the Old Testament. Whenever there is a decision to be made, you will all look throughout the Old Testament, you will see Elohim will gather the Israelites and the Gentiles. And for some reason, they'll always say, "And a multitude of Gentiles were there." Very common. It's because that's what Elohim wants. That's what he is doing. So no divisive names. We are simply the congregation of Elohim. And of course, we can say that in various ways, as long as we're saying the same thing. Whether we say ecclesias theos, whether we say congregation of Elohim, whether we say adat Elohim, Eda Elohim, all these things, all the world is saying the same thing, just different languages. Or Ecclesiam Dei in the Latin, it's all fine. It's all perfectly fine, as long as we're communicating what Elohim is communicating. So our identity must be communicated as Elohim communicates that identity. So receive all who did. Next step. So first, have only one head. Second, eliminate different and divisive names. Third, receive all who demonstrate genuine hope, faith, and love for and in Elohim. Romans 14, verses 1 says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute or over doubtful things. How many times this happened? A young brother or sister comes, and then people that are pushing this or pushing that cannot receive the young brother because they're burdening them about things they're not ready for. Yeshua never did that. The disciples never did that. We don't burden those of us who are parents. We don't feed potatoes or whatever heavy meals to a little baby. We don't do that. We feed them what they can, because the goal is for them to be nourished, to be gathered and cared for and grow. So we do not receive the weak in the faith to doubtful disputes. You don't start burdening them about Sabbath keeping if they don't know it, or holy day keeping. No, these things will come in time. Let's work on developing their faith and their love for Elohim. Because once they have the faith and love and hope in Elohim, they will say, oh, Elohim, whatever you say, I will do. When they hear of Sabbath, they say, of course I'll keep the Sabbath. It is the Sabbath of my Elohim whom I love. Of course I'll keep the whole holy days. It is the holy days of the Elohim that I love. But if they're not ready, why destroy them with things they're not able to understand when they're struggling with faith? Next. Titus 3 verse 8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. How often? Constantly. That those who have believed in Elohim should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So, constantly, this is not something that you talk about once in a while. The apostolic teaching by the Spirit is that this is a faithful saying. It is a powerful saying. It is a trustworthy saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, not once in a while, that those who have believed them should be careful to maintain good works. This is why I say keep your baptism pure when you are baptized. Maintain the good works. And as we saw, it's not your own works, but the works which were foreordained in part part one of the series, to maintain good works. So we are the workmanship of his hand. He chose us for works that he has preordained for us to do. These things are good and profitable to men. These things are good and profitable to men. So receive all who demonstrate genuine love. Don't send them away because they don't know about Sabbath or this. They will come to know these things. Four, know to focus on those who wish to unite and not to stress over those who will not. That's why I said before, whosoever wills. Psalms 119 verses 118 says, you reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. So don't worry about those who love falsehood, who want to stay there. It doesn't mean we give up on them, but that's not our focus. That means the Spirit of Elohim, if the Spirit of Elohim is working in that individual, the work is not yet done for that person to be ready to come into the body. So do not look down on them, but don't stress over trying to get them to accept. Because those who are ready are those we are looking for, those whosoever will. Titus 3 verse 9 verse 11 says, but avoid similar to what we read before, avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the Torah. For they are unprofitable and useless. Yes, they are. When I first started to learn about the commandments, I used to get involved in that, trying to argue about the law. Didn't understand that if the spirit of Elohim did not work in that person's heart to love him and his son and spirit, they're not going to be receptive to that, because they will only want to do what they like. You know, there are lots of people proclaiming, I want to keep the law. It's not so much because of the love of Elohim, but just because for some reason there's something about that law they personally like. It has nothing to do because thus saith Elohim. It's just, and then you will see that same person that claimed they love the law read another law of Elohim and have issues with it. In other words, a law that is to be observed. Like love your enemies as yourself, right? Love your enemies. Do good to your enemies. A lot of them will have issues with that. Doesn't go that way. It's the entirety of Elohim's word we have to follow. But avoid foolish disputes. What's foolish dispute? A dispute void of the knowledge of Elohim, void of the understanding of Elohim, for the fool says there is no Elohim. Avoid foolish disputes, arguments. Avoid it. For those who want the truth will not argue. They won't, really. Avoid striving about genealogies. Am I Jewish? Or am I this? Am I this? Nah. Don't get into that. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish, Greek, or anything. None of that will give you an edge over anything. For all have been concluded under sin. Why? So that Elohim in his rich mercy may have mercy on all. So he's concluded them under sin to have mercy on them. So that he's not judging them by their righteousness, but he's judging them now by their trust in him. To do what? To enable them to overcome their sins, not just to stay in their sins. Contentions, disputes. It doesn't matter if it's the truth or not. Do not strive over the truth. For if it is written, the servant of Elohim shall not strive. We're not to strive over the truth. Now, it doesn't mean we do nothing, but in other words, when we're dealing with an individual or a group and they're rejecting what's being said, do not strive with them. Go to the other. That's the example we have throughout the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, every time the disciples went somewhere, the first place they went to was a synagogue in the foreign lands, and they shared the word in the synagogue.
Okay.
But when the truth was rejected, either by the Jews there or the Greeks, they moved on. And those who believed went with them. And they, wherever they went, they kept repeating that pattern. Because that's what the master told them. If they reject your shalom, just move on. Shake the dust of your sandals against them and move on. So, avoid strivings about the law. Again, same thing. Don't argue about it. Those who are ready for it will receive it. For all these such things are unprofitable and useless. We have to follow that. These are the causes of division. You know, people will leave when they see this. People disputing foolish things, claiming I'm of this race or I'm of that. Having contentions and strivings about the law. It's useless. It will not help. Verse 10, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. You see, that's why you were told, don't strive about the law. Don't strive. Because a divisive person, when you try to share with them once and twice, and they don't listen, you know that this person is warped. Their perception of things is distorted. Their understanding is distorted. And they are sinning. And it's very common that when people have a particular sin in their lives that they like to hold on to, they will do whatever it is to twist the scriptures or shut their ears so they don't turn from their sin, because they want to hold on to the sin. That's usually why people, like, you talk about the Sabbath and you show them all the verses in the scripture and they refuse to keep the Sabbath. It is because they don't want to. They don't like the Sabbath. See, and so they're sinning. And so they don't want to accept the truth. And so being self-condemned. Let's move on. So know to focus on those who wish to unite. And don't stress over those who will not. Once we do that, then we're not waiting when somebody says no. We're waiting. We're constantly looking for the yes. The no's we're not concerned about. We're looking for the yeses. Those who will say yes to the work of Elohim. And know and expect Elohim to unite our hearts and minds when we differ in understanding. There's no reason for us to argue and divide. Just because, you know, we may come together and may not have the same calendar or certain understanding, but we don't divide over that. Because Elohim loves those who love him especially. He loves the whole world, but especially those who love him. So the brother or sister whom Elohim loved that may be keeping another calendar, if Elohim loves that person, his spirit is with that person. So why should you be divided from that person whom Elohim loved? It doesn't make sense. We have to get the big picture that the love of Elohim and his everlasting arms are the important things. He will unite our hearts. He will give us the understanding. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, it says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. That's a prophecy concerning the Spirit. So a person who has the Holy Spirit, that is such a person. So one of the first things you'll notice, that person loves Elohim, loves others, and wants to keep all the commandments of Elohim in their proper sense. And they're not argumentative about it either. They're very loving. When you see a person claims to be keeping the law and they're argumentative and pushy about it and tearing each other down, no, that's not by the works of the Spirit. That's just by the works of the flesh. That's just selective appreciation for the law. It has nothing to do with the Spirit. Because the Spirit is always first peaceable. It's peaceable. You will keep so my spirit within you and cause you. It's not by your own strength. It's not by your own personal liking. The Spirit will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment. Not maybe. And you will do them. Not can't do them. Okay, we're coming, trying to come to a close. Colossians 2 verse 2 says, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together, not close together, but knit together in Torah, no, in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of Elohim, both of the Father and of Messiah. That our hearts may be encouraged, not discouraged. That our heart, that we may be knit together, not set apart or being close to each other. No, knit, brethren, knit. It's a body, not a puzzle. It's a body. In what? In love. And attaining to all the riches of the full assurance, and attaining to all the riches, not some. The full assurance. Not part, full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of Elohim, of the Father, of the Messiah. Why has this been lost in this generation? It's because that unity isn't there. Do you see what comes first? That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together. That's when the rest of this can happen. So let's maintain. So once we've achieved this unity through these steps, what steps? What we've said before, we review them over, then we are to maintain the unity. To maintain this unity, we have to do it as Elohim commanded in hope, faith, and love of Elohim, his Son, and his Spirit. The basis of unity is primarily love for Elohim. And secondly, love for all hearers, or you shall love the eternal Lord Elohim with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is it. Once we can understand this, then all the rest is easy. Especially those who love him. The love for all, especially the love for those who love him. As aforementioned in the prior two teachings, the body of Messiah was scattered by false teachers, cults of personality, and everything that comes from them, from these sources and works of darkness. The key to maintaining unity is the light, is the ore that comes from love, the love of Elohim. Let us now review the unity that comes from the light of the love of Elohim. Differences in understanding or opinion are not justifiable reasons for division, to work apart. A child of Elohim will never divide for that. We must never divide. Must never divide. Why? By the command of Elohim. It's not an option. Division of the body is not an option. Doesn't matter if there are differences of opinion. Because there are ways to deal with the differences of opinion. The difference of opinion won't stay if we do what he says. So the enemy looks for every opportunity to sow discord and division to weaken and render the body of Messiah ineffectual. And he has done it, but we have to fight back in the spirit. So Acts chapter 4, 31 says, and when they had prayed, so prayer, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit, with the Pneuma Agios, with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of Elohim with boldness. Let's look quickly. What were they doing? Studying, reading? No, they were praying. And what happened when they were, how were they praying? They were assembled together. What happened? The place was shaken. The place, the whole, was shaken around them. And what happened to them? They were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Pneuma Agios, with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of Elohim with boldness. Had nothing to do with the flesh here. It was by the power of the Spirit and them doing the right things. What was the right things? Prayer. How? Together. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says, now I plead with you, brethren. Listen. Listen to the plea of the Spirit through the apostle. Remember, this is the Spirit speaking through human beings. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name, by the authority of this Kurios, this supreme Yeshua Messiah, that you will all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Do you see the calling of what it means to be the body of Messiah? We cannot be the body of Messiah if we're not at least striving, doing our part to make this happen. We don't come together because we are this. We come together to be this. Let's understand this. Because there's a divisive lie out there that unless everyone knows the truth and comes together, that's wrong. No, it's not. That's a lie from, deceptive lie from the enemy. It's very clever, but it's, or crafty, I should say, but it's a lie. You don't have to agree first. No, you have to obey the commandments. Come together, and the Spirit, as it says in Ezekiel, will cause you to do these things. It's not the other way around. It's not first know everything perfect and then come together and come together because you all agree in everything. That's a lie. No, you don't all agree in everything. You agree in loving Elohim and your neighbor above all. That's the key step. And then those of us who have that sentiment come together, and then the Spirit does the work. The Spirit will cause us to speak the same thing. Remember, I will cause you to walk in my law. The Spirit will stop the divisions. The Spirit will unite the body. The Spirit will cause you to, cause us to be joined together perfectly. The Spirit will cause us to have the same mind. The Spirit will give us the same judgment, not flesh and blood. Not flesh and blood, brethren. When Yeshua prayed for his disciples, they were not perfect. They were not united. But they came together to follow the Messiah. They did not have the same sentiments, as seen clearly, as some disputed over who will be at the right hand of Messiah and so on and other things. They're not perfect, but they were, but they did what was expected of them. What the expectation that you stay together in hope of Him. You stay together for Him. You don't stay together necessarily for each other, although it does benefit us tremendously. Ultimately, it is we who benefit from staying together. But why Elohim requires that we come together and His, let His Spirit do what His Spirit is supposed to do. Ephesians 4, 2, verse 3 says, with all lowliness and gentleness. Not I am in charge, who's in charge, and no, none of that nonsense. Evil thing from the pit of hell. It's not who's in charge. Yeshua is in charge. We are fellow servants, quickly ready to bow down to wash each other's feet. We're His servants to quickly grab each the brother or sister's hand when she or he or she is struggling. We're never looking down upon a brother or sister, but always hoping for the best. Sometimes the host, Brother Fuchs, would say, I'm having a good day, I had a good week, but I hope your week was better than mine. That's the type of mindset we must have. With all loneliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another. Now, oh, you think this, that's it, I'm leaving. Or you're a false brother because you don't agree. It says bearing with one. What does it mean bear? That means you endure each other's weaknesses. Because we're all weak at some point. We all needed grace to be saved. Bearing with one another in love and endeavoring. Woo! Endeavoring. Working hard. Looking forward to. Having this the focus. What? To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Remember when we did Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 19, when the brethren was saying, please don't go, Paul, please don't go. But Paul was determined by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. It says, and they kept their peace. Were they upset with Paul? They were probably sad, but they fell on his neck and they were praying and they took him all the way to the ship and they didn't leave until he was gone. The unity of peace, that's how we are to be. These things are not written in the scriptures in vain. So thus, rather than falling for the adversary's snares, we must grab firm hold of each other to study. Pray for the unity of mind in the bond of peace of Messiah in the Spirit. Again, we must, in long suffering, trust the Son and the Spirit to unify our understanding. Bear with one another. It's not going to happen necessarily overnight. Teach only what we know, not unverified beliefs. This is what the leaders, the false leaders, do and did, which divided the people. They taught what they really didn't know. They taught what could not be proven. But we are to teach only what we actually know, not unverified beliefs. Keep all uncertain ideas or personal unverifiable faith as private matters among the established brethren only. We never teach we don't know. We can discuss prayerfully, we could come together as we do to discuss the things we don't know, to discuss the things we don't necessarily are united about, to discuss them in the bond of peace, not trying to convince or overturn another, but being patient and bearing with for the Spirit to do their work. So until proven, we do not teach anything that is not of faith, that is of empirical knowledge. John 3, verse 11 says, most assuredly, this is Messiah speaking, most assuredly, very certainly, I say to you, we speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. But listen to this part. What does he speak? He speaks what he knows. He testifies. He doesn't just talk about what he read, what he's heard. He gives testimony of what he knows. We have seen, what we've actually experienced. Okay, that's the point. So keep, don't lose track of that. So when we teach, we got to make sure we're teaching what we actually know. You know, we have to wait on the Spirit. Don't go ahead. Because we're to teach only what we can prove in every way. Romans 14:22 says, do you have faith? Do you have some understanding? Have it to yourself before Elohim. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So be careful. Just because you, in matter of fact, you may have an understanding that is right and correct, but don't push it on the brethren until the Spirit makes that path. Otherwise, it will create discord. We must not strive. Let me try to hurry here. So we're coming to the conclusion. So what happens when we have a situation, we've come together, we're a large body, and we don't know, we have to make a choice, but don't know, like a calendar. You know, this brother believes in this calendar system, I believe in that calendar. What should we do? Well, first we need to evaluate the matter. Is brother A or brother B, is there a biblical sound reason for us to consider brother A's view? And brother B, is there a biblically sound reason to consider brother B's view? If there is not a sound reason for either, then the obvious choice is to choose the one who has a biblical basis. But what do we do when there seems to be a biblical basis for both, a sound reason for both? We have the law of Elohim all the way from the Old Testament throughout, especially now and in the New Testament, that we are to cast lots, brethren. Okay, we are to cast lots. This practice has been lost. They have cast, the leaders have cast this away as being a foolish thing and have adopted such things as opinion or polls or voting to make decisions. No, the congregation of Elohim does not vote in important matters to make decisions. When we can't, we do everything to determine what the truth is by the scriptures. When we can't, and the Spirit of Elohim has not shown us exactly, then we must cast lots. That's the command from the Old and New Testaments, brethren. See, in Joshua 13, verse 6, it says, all the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon, as far as the brook Misrephoth, and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out from before the children of Israel. He will do that. Only, in other words, what your part is, speaking to the Israelites, only divided by lot to the church Israel, to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. If you haven't done this, or if you've missed our teachings on the cast lots, you will see that throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, when a decision had to be made that could not be made in any other way, they cast lots. Why? Because in Proverbs, from the wise man says, Proverbs chapter 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the eternal. This is sure doctrine, brethren. When the lot is cast righteously, and we won't go into it because now how it's done, but there's a specific way it needs to be done. When the outcome of the lot, Elohim will make sure you know his will by the outcome of the lot. It's certain. The lot is cast in the lap, but it's every decision is from the eternal. Last one, and then we'll conclude. Acts chapter 1, verse 24-26 says, and they prayed. This is the apostles after they have received the Holy Spirit. They have received the Holy Spirit on the day of first fruits, according to the Gospel of John, when Yeshua rose from the dead, breathed on them, and said, receive the Spirit, and they received the Spirit. On the evening of the day he was resurrected. And yes, 50 days later, the power of the Spirit in them was manifest, but they received that Spirit 50 days before in Yom HaBikurim, during the evening of Yom HaBikurim. Let me try to finish. So it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 24 to 26, and they prayed and said, "You, O Eternal, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he may go to his own place." And what did they do? Did they vote? No. Did they give their opinions? No. And they cast their lots. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. You see that, brethren? Throughout the Old and New Testament, that's how it's done for when there are choices, important choices to be made for the body, that we can't, that there's an impasse. We must cast lots. So there's no room for division, no room for opinions, no room for that. If the lot is cast in the division, and if every decision is from the Eternal. Let's conclude. So in conclusion, therefore, let us really consider the problems facing the body of Messiah today. An organization or congregation that Elohim established to represent Him, to represent His good news in His Son and Spirit, the everlasting arms. Brethren, consider, if we are truly His workmanship, the sheep of His pasture, endowed with the fruits and gifts of the Spirit to achieve a virtuous, monumental, foreordained works. We are set for this. What is our experience? What do we see? Sadly, honestly, personally, as I conclude this, I can't help but admit I see and experience a weakened, ineffectual, scattered, unrecognizable factions contributing to the apostasy and unbelief that is ruining the beautiful creation of the Almighty, the beneficent Elohim. That's what the so-called churches have become. Circuses. Not ecclesia, not Eda, not the congregations of Elohim. But thankfully, it does not have to be so. For it is Elohim's manifest will that his organization will stay united. Of old, in many generations past, he lit the hearts of his servants, Jews and Gentiles alike, to fulfill his will by the fruit and gifts of his Spirit by his Son. We know from the scriptures, old and new, that his congregation was established and blessed to accomplish great works. Brethren, Elohim commands that we unite and stay united. It is not an option. In his word, and as observable all around us, there are powerful benefits in being united. As we reviewed, unity is a foundation for us to learn, grow, and perform the foreordained works effectively, efficiently. Furthermore, we must always remember that every command commanded work Elohim requires of us, he has also provided or will also provide the means for us to achieve it. It's not achievable. It's not something that cannot be achieved. It can be achieved. Therefore, brethren, let us put aside every agenda, all preferences, all failures, our own or those of any other that would hinder or conflict with Elohim, or that conflicts with Elohim's will. Let's put those things aside. Let us put aside doubt stemming from our own failures or those of others. Let us no longer be immobilized or paralyzed in wondering how or what we can do to unite everyone. Why? Because we're not trying to unite everyone. We're trying to unite those who will. And if we try, we will. Rather, let us, like our Father, who so loves the world, work to unite only whosoever wills. Not idolatrous organizations, divisive denominations, or scoffing blasphemers. Let us be believing in Elohim as we focus to unite and help reunite the scattered body of Messiah. Brethren, given the present dire state of affairs all over the world, reuniting the body of Messiah is a very high priority, if not the highest priority, for his servants. So without our being united, the necessary knowledge, the faith, the evident love, the growth and work that brings honor and praise to Elohim cannot be properly achieved. So when was the last time you heard or saw multitudes or even a few people in the world, out there in the world, giving glory and praise to Elohim on account of the love or works of believers? Not lately. At least not, I've not seen it much. Yet we must make sure we do all we can for the world to see the evident love of Elohim amongst ourselves and the works of Elohim being done through us. Only by so doing are we his body. And by the demonstrated love of Elohim working in us and among us, the world will believe. Last statement, and I'm close, and this message is finished. So let us therefore be believing in the purpose, command, and graces or gifts of Elohim in his Son and Spirit to devotedly do all we can to participate in his work to reunite. It's not joining Brother Jackson or this brother. No, he has joined us, but we are united to do his work. Is to gather his scattered people as one body and representative organization on earth that belongs to Elohim. We may not get to see all his people united, but we will see some of it happen and have heaven's honor of being participants in Elohim's will being done on earth. Furthermore, we will be counted among all those who believed and worked to unite the body and congregation of Elohim, as he will indeed accomplish before his elect and uniquely born Son visibly appears in the world as King over all the kings. So we may choose to do it or not, but he's going to get it done. But we will be wise to choose to participate in his work. Let us be believing and unite in hope, faith and love of Elohim in Messiah and the Spirit. Finally, let the words of the uniquely born Son of Elohim, the elect one, resonate in our ears, our hearts, and minds to stir us to unite and gather the scattered. Quote, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Thank you for listening, brethren.
Okay. Thank you, brother.